This webcast is made possible by the listener members of the Classical Network and WWFM.org. Thank you for your support. Jacobs Music Company is the proud sponsor of Between the Keys with Jed Distler. Information on any of the products or services that Jacobs Music offers is available on their website, www.jacobsmusic.com. This is Jed Distler, artist in residence for the Classical Network. I welcome you to Between the Keys this week. I had a suggestion from a friend to devote an episode to pupils of Theodore Leschetizky, and I thought that was a very good idea because Leschetizky was one of the most influential of all 19th century piano teachers, possibly the most influential, or maybe not, but he certainly is up there. He had many, many great pupils. He lived from 1830 until 1915, and Leschetizky studied at first with Karl Czerny in Vienna. Czerny, of course, was one of Beethoven's prize pupils, and then Czerny went on to become a great teacher in his own right, and one of his early pupils was a talented kid named Franz Liszt. The roster of Leschetizky pupils includes many, many, many great pianists, including Ignaz Paderewski, Artur Schnabel, Benno Moiseevich, Eli Nye, Mieczysław Horszowski, Ignaz Friedman. I mean, the list goes on and on. There was no real Leschetizky method of teaching, and he had the ability as a teacher to zero in on the individual characteristics of each of his students, helping to bring out the best in them and guide them toward their original voice and their true potential. But Leschetizky did care about beautiful tone, first and foremost, and it's probably true that none of the Leschetizky pupils, at least the ones who made recordings, and there are many of them, none of the Leschetizky pupils ever made an ugly sound. Well, at least most of them didn't make an ugly sound. So we're going to be exploring a wide range of Leschetizky's pupils this hour. Let's start with a pianist who himself was one of the most influential teachers of the 20th century and certainly one of the most influential interpreters. This is Artur Schnabel. We're going to hear him play the G-flat major impromptu by Franz Schubert.
Thank you.
Werner Schnabel playing Schubert's Impromptu in G-flat. That's a wonderful performance, I think. It has both tender lyricism and dynamic virility to it. Osip Gabrilovich was another Leschetizky pupil, yet unlike Werner Schnabel, Gabrilovich made relatively few recordings, yet there are all quite memorable, I think, including this performance of the Bourée from J.S. Bach's Solo Violin Partita No. 2 and an arrangement by Camille Sasson. Let's listen. The Bourée from J.S. Bach's Solo Violin Partita No. 2 in a piano transcription by Camille Sasson, and the pianist was Osip Gabrilovich. Usually when somebody mentions the composer Max Reger, you get this Pavlovian response and you think, oh my God, a big fugue, and or you think about those humongous variation sets and they have big fugues that are about as thick as Crisco. Yet, it's true that Reger also could compose beautiful miniatures, such as the pieces in his cycle titled From My Diary. Let's listen to one of these, performed by a relatively unknown British pianist and composer who also studied with Leschetizky. His name is Frank Merrick. Thank you. pianist Frank Merrick, who was a pupil of Theodore Leschetizky, as all the pianists are this hour, we heard him playing an excerpt from the second book of Max Reger's From My Diary, Opus 82, and that piece is marked Allegro con Grazia. Ethel Leginska lived from 1882 until 1970. In addition to being a student of Theodore Leschetizky, she also was a composer and one of the pioneering women conductors. She recorded Schubert's Moments Musicaux and the second book of Schubert Impromptus for Columbia Records in 1928. We're going to hear the final F minor impromptu. There are a few small cuts in this performance, yet you still get a sense of a pianist who had a strong personality and presence. Ethel Leginska playing Schubert. Music of Schubert, the Impromptu No. 4 in F minor from his Opus 142, or Deutsch No. 935, if you want to be musicologically correct or up to date. The pianist was Ethel Leszczynska. That was recorded in 1928. We are listening to Pupils of Theodore Leschetizky this hour on Between the Keys, and I'm your host, Jed Distler. The Japanese Sakuraphon label has been bringing out this reissue series devoted to pupils of Theodore Leschetizky. Some of these pianists are so obscure that I cannot find any information on them. For example, the pianist named Auguste de Radwan, or Radwan. Anyway, all I know is that he lived from 1867 until 1957, and that around 1933 he recorded a solo piano version of the main theme from the slow movement of Chopin's Piano Concerto No. 1. Kind of an odd thing to record, but why don't we listen to it? A Theodore Leschetizky pupil named Auguste de Radwan. Don't worry if you have never heard of this pianist before, because I certainly had not heard of him before. I got hold of this recording we just heard of a solo piano arrangement of the main theme from the slow movement of Chopin's Piano Concerto No. 1. By contrast, here is one of Leschetizky's best-known pupils, Alexander Brailovsky, in a recording from 1938, and it has a wonderful sense of character and a real beauty of tone that you really do not hear in his later recordings from the 50s and 60s, but it comes out beautifully here. These are the three Chopin equasses, Little Scottish Dances. This is Alexander Brailovsky. Those were the Chopin Equassize Little Scottish Dances, Opus 72, and the pianist was Alexander Brailovsky from a recording made in 1938. The next Leschetizky pupil that we're going to hear is Aline von Barenson, who lived from 1897 until 1981. She was also one of Leschetizky's very last pupils. She taught for many years at the Paris Conservatory, and she was a close associate of the Brazilian composer Villa-Lobos, and she recorded his Choro No. 5, which we will hear right now. Thank you. music of Villa-Lobos, his Choro No. 5 for solo piano, with Eileen von Berenson. She was one of Theodor Leschetizky's last pupils. Here's another example for you of a relatively obscure Leschetizky pupil. Certainly this is someone who I had never heard of before I got a hold of his recordings. This is someone named Richard Singer, born in 1879, and he died in 1961. He was both a pianist and composer, and apparently he was a champion of the music of his time. This is a tarantella composed by Richard Singer, performed by the pianist in a 1923 recording. That's a composition that you, in all likelihood, have never heard before. That was a tarantella by Richard Singer, and it was performed by the composer at the piano, in a recording dating from 1923. Richard Singer was a pupil of Theodore Leschetizky, as are all the pianists we are hearing this hour. So we go from the obscure to the truly legendary. Here's a Leschetizky pupil who was a forceful and strong-willed personality and an absolutely inspiring pianist who commanded the most sumptuous sonority and multi-dimensional control of textures. I'm talking about Ignaz Friedman, who lived from 1882 until 1948, and his 1936 recording of Chopin's Nocturne in E-flat, Opus 55, number 2, was considered by the writer Harold C. Schoenberg to be perhaps the most beautiful singing and proportioned performance of a Chopin Nocturne ever put on record. Strong words, but listen, and I think you might agree. Thank you. You know, I've been familiar with this recording that we just heard for many, many years, and every time I hear it, I notice new things. I think it's like that with all classic performances, and that is a classic performance, a legendary performance indeed. Chopin's Nocturne in E-flat, Opus 55, number 2. The pianist was Ignaz Friedman, recorded in 1936. Absolutely timeless stuff. One of my very favorite of all of the Leschetizky pupils who recorded, indeed he's one of my favorite pianists, period, is Benno Moiseevich. He was born in Odessa in 1890. He lived until 1963. He recorded Carl Maria von Weber's Invitation to the Dance, but in the concert arrangement by Carl Tausig, which adds all kinds of virtuosic bells and whistles to the text. And in this recording, I think Moiseevich plays this music with such style and elegance and absolutely no effort at all. This is really remarkable piano playing.
Thank you.
Another classic recording, that was pianist Benno Moiseevich playing Carl Maria von Weber's Invitation to the Dance in a concert arrangement by Carl Tausig. We have been featuring pupils of the legendary Theodore Leschetizky this past hour on Between the Keys. We have time for a little encore composed and performed by Mark Hamburg. Mark Hamburg at the piano playing his own composition, Volkslied. And that concludes our program devoted to various pupils of the influential 19th century piano pedagogue Theodore Leschetizky, who lived from 1830 until 1915 and taught hundreds, possibly thousands, of pianists, many of whom went on to important and highly distinctive careers. This is Jed Disler, artist in residence for the Classical Network. I hope you will join me again at this time next week for Between the Keys. This program is an exclusive production of the Classical Network and WWFM.org. Thanks so much for tuning in, and stay well. I look forward to seeing you next week.